Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
This should be moved, is it? So that my head is not blocking the text.
Come on, it's
fine. It's enough? Alright. Srimad Bhagavad Gita, as it is. Translation and commentary by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Chapter 10, Text 8. Aham Sarvasya Prabhavaha Mattaha Sarvam Pravartate Iti Matva Bhajante Mam Buddhaha Bhava Samanvitaha Aham Sarvasya Prabhavo Matah Sarvam Pravartate Iti Matva Bhajante Mam Buddha bhava samanvitaha. I am the source of all spiritual and material worlds. Everything emanates from me. The wise who know this perfectly, engage in my devotional service and worship me with all their hearts. Purport, a learned scholar who has studied the Vedas perfectly and has information from authorities like Lord Chaitanya and who knows how to apply these teachings can understand that Krishna is the origin of everything in both the material and spiritual worlds, and because he knows this perfectly, he becomes firmly fixed in the devotional service of the Supreme Lord. He can never be deviated by any amount of nonsensical commentaries or by fools. All Vedic literature agrees that Krishna is the source of Brahma, Shiva and all other demigods. In the Atharva Veda, Gopala Tapani Upanishad, it is said, Yo Brahmanam Vidadhati Purvam Yo Vai Vedangs Chagapayati Sma Krishnaha. It was Krishna who in the beginning instructed Brahma in Vedic knowledge and who disseminated Vedic knowledge in the past. End of quote. Then again, the Narayana Upanishad says, Atapurusho havai narayano kamayata prajaha srijayeti. Then the Supreme Personality Narayana desired to create living entities. The Upanishad continues, Narayanad Brahma Jayate Narayanad Prajapati Prajayate Narayanad Indra Jayate Narayanad Ashto Vasavo Jayante Narayanad Ekadasha Rudra Jayante Narayanadvashadityaha. From Narayana Brahma is born, and from Narayana the patriarchs are also born. From Narayana, Indra is born, and from Narayana, the 8 Vasus are born. From Narayana, the 11 Rudras are born. From Narayana, the 12 Adityas are born. End of quote. This Narayana is an expansion of Krishna. It is said in the same Vedas, Brahmanyo Devaki Putraha. The son of Devaki, Krishna, is the Supreme Personality. From Narayana Upanishad. Then it is said, Eko vai Narayana asin na Brahma na Ishano na Po na Agni samau neme dhyava prithivi na nakshatrang na Suryaha. In the beginning of the creation, there was only the Supreme Personality, Narayana. There was no Brahma, no Shiva, no water, no fire, no moon, no stars, no sun. From Maha Upanishad. In the Maha Upanishad, it is also said that Lord Shiva was born from the forehead of the Supreme Lord. Thus the Vedas say that it is the Supreme Lord, the creator of Brahma and Shiva, who is to be worshipped. In the Moksha Dharma, Krishna also says, Prajapatim cha rudrang cha pyahang eva srijami vai tohi mang na vijani to mama maya vimohitau. The patriarchs, Shiva and others, are created by me, though they do not know that they are created by me because they are deluded by my illusory energy. In the Varaha Purana, it is also said, Narayana paro devas tasmad chatas chatur mukhaha tasmad rudro bhavad deva satcha sarva gyatangataha. Narayana is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and from him Brahma was born, from whom Shiva was born. End of quote. Lord Krishna is the source of all generations, and he is called the most efficient cause of everything. He says, because everything is born of me, I am the original source of all. Everything is under me, no one is above me. End of quote. There is no supreme controller other than Krishna. One who understands Krishna in such a way from a bona fide spiritual master with references from Vedic literature engages all his energy in Krishna consciousness and becomes a truly learned man. In comparison to him, all others who do not know Krishna properly are but fools. Only a fool would consider Krishna to be an ordinary man. A Krishna conscious person should not be bewildered by fools. He should avoid all unauthorized commentaries and interpretations on Bhagavad Gita and proceed in Krishna consciousness with determination and firmness. Aham sarvasya prabhavo matah sarvam pravartate tilakva jante mam buddha bhava samambitaha. I am the source of all spiritual and material worlds. Everything emanates from me. The wise who perfectly know this engage in my devotional service and worship me with all their hearts. In this verse, Krishna describes himself and also people who understand him to be the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the source of all spiritual and material worlds, and who therefore engage in his devotional service and worship him with all their hearts. They are Buddha, they're learned or intelligent, thoughtful. We find several times here in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna speaks of Buddhi Yoga. Just in the upcoming verse, Buddhi Yogam Dadamita. I give such persons, I link them with me by intelligence. So intelligence is a symptom of a human, considerably more than non-human species. That is meant for thoughtfulness. One should be thoughtful. modern civilization, there's thoughtfulness, but it's practically presumed by everyone that this life is meant for enjoyment. Even you'll see so many philosophers in the Western world, those who are interested in philosophy, which is not many unless you're in France where they teach it in schools, but they're very proud. They talk, philosophy means for them what they call Western philosophy, but it didn't get off the ground. It didn't even start, because they just presume as an axiom that we are meant for enjoying this world. There may have been some religious thinkers who had some different ideas. But then they are just, in the Western world also, just the opposite. Then they become renouncers of the world and engage in severe austerities. They don't have any idea that, or yeah, there may be, but they don't accept the idea that there is another world that we're meant for enjoying. That comes under religion, that's not philosophy. There may be philosophy about religion, but religion itself is not considered to be very, not very thoughtful, because it begins on the platform of blind faith, which is rejected from the outset by that which is considered philosophy. So by Srila Prabhupada's grace, those of us who have been fortunate enough to study Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam under his guidance, we can immediately understand that all these great thinkers, they're all just, as Srila Prabhupada mentions more than once in this purport, fools, actually. They're very intelligently discussing about that which is not worth discussing about. Ashochan anvashochan strong pragya vadangs cha bhashase. Gatasunan anugasangs cha nanu shochanti panditaha. Intelligent people don't lament, which means they don't rejoice either, over that which is, which comes and goes, which has no permanence. They're not fixated on that. They have a better subject matter. So those who studied or heard from Srila Prabhupada, which means from Shastra and from all the previous acharyas, they can understand that these people, they're intelligently discussing that which shouldn't be discussed. As Srila Prabhupada gave this example in this regard of Kakatalya Nyai, that two pundits, they are walking along and they see there is a palm tree with ripe fruits on it, and one crow comes and lands on the tree just above the fruit, which immediately drops down to the ground. And being pundits, they're interested in understanding things and arguing about things. So one says, just see, the crow, by the action of his landing, the force of his landing caused the fruit to drop. And then said, no, it's just a coincidence. And then they go arguing back and forth. There's no way to find out. And even if you did find out, what would it matter? So discussing about, being thoughtful, applying their intelligence to understand that which is not of any particular importance. So we should be thoughtful, but we should, first of all, be thoughtful about what should we be thoughtful about? Parabhavastavadabodhajatayavannajignyasata-atma-tattvam. So I just quoted from Srimad Bhagavatam. You may think, well, that's just some religious opinion. But it's a very important comment or analysis that we are defeated. All our efforts are fruitless as long as we do not inquire into the nature of ourself. We're interested in ourself. How I can be happy, how I can prosper, how I can flourish, how I can avoid distress. But first of all, we should inquire into ourself. Who are we, actually? Have whole philosophies developed in the Western world, utilitarianism, how everyone can cooperate together and be happy in the best possible way. But just based on the idea that we can be happy by having sufficient objects to maintain the body and live comfortably and enjoy sense gratification and not be troubled by disturbances. In other words, it's just on the animal platform. So then religion, that's supposed to take us higher, and has very strong claims. If you don't, you have to believe in this, otherwise you'll go to hell. If you do believe this, you'll be saved. If you don't believe that, you'll go to hell. We should be very thoughtful. It's the most important thing we should be thoughtful about. Because if what they say is true, and might seem that there's some truth in it, seeing as so many people believe in it and have believed in it, there might be something to it. Something we should be very thoughtful about. When the majority, the great majority of people within known history have accepted that there is more to life than simply living this life. There is a world beyond. There is a God or gods or spirits or some state of those who are not theistic. They may also say there's a condition beyond this world, beyond birth and death. Nirvana, the Buddhists say. That is the point to be aimed for. Otherwise we're suffering birth after birth. So it's something we should think about. We should be most thoughtful about. Because if we get it wrong, we could be in a lot of trouble. If we get it right, then we'll be fulfilled in the best possible way. We should think very carefully. Otherwise we could be misled. There are those who say, well, to even enter on any religious or metaphysical path, you're being misled right from the outset. Because there is nothing more than this life. Bhasmi bhutasya dehasya king puna agamano bhavet. When the body dies, it's burned, finished. That's all. So don't worry about it. So, well, maybe that's one possibility, starting from our own platform of ignorance. But then, how will we get from the platform of ignorance to the platform of knowledge? There's another big question. And how can we actually understand? And we can get hung up on that also. How can you actually understand? It's obviously very easy to be misled and cheated. Atheists, they're increasing their numbers by pointing out that there's so much cheating going on in the name of religion. It has such very bad effects. But it seems that atheism will never be very overly dominant in the world. Maybe in some areas more than others, but even that if we think about it, well, maybe they're right. We can think, there's ample evidence that there is life after death in terms of reincarnation. It makes sense that there's a controller of this world, seeing as there are so many laws, so there is something beyond it. How can I find out? How can I not be cheated? Or how can I practice in the best possible way? There may be so many different ideas and different opinions, and then some people may say, well, all the opinions are all the same. It all goes to the same goal. But that, it's a nice idea maybe, but it doesn't it doesn't work out like that, because if someone from Islam says, no, it's only this way, not any other way, and then someone from Christianity says, no, it's only this way, it's not from that way, so they can't all be the same, because they contradict each other. And these religions will say, no, there's no life after death. There's no reincarnation. And others say, yeah, there is reincarnation. So they contradict each other. So it's not that they're You can't just say they're all the same and they all go the same way, because they themselves, they have exclusive claims. They claim to, some of them claim to be the only way. Different people will be inclined to follow different paths. Srila Prabhupada, in commenting on this and saying there's, when he was asked, as he was often asked in the Western world, what is the best religion? Because at that time in the Western world, although they had been for 2 millennia Christian, but now they were experiencing so many people coming, especially from India at that time. Excuse me. And giving different ideas about religion. So when Srila Prabhupada asked what is the best religion, maybe some of the people asking were trying to draw him into some kind of argument that our religion is better than yours. No, our religion is better than your, this kind of fight. Srila Prabhupada simply said that, he would simply say, it doesn't matter which form you practice, but the proof will be seen as how you love God, if you actually love God. And then if Srila Prabhupada was pressed on that, he would develop that more, that you can't love God and love dog. Or as Jesus is credited as saying, or quoted as saying, you cannot love God and love mammon. Mammon means materialism. Definition of the best religion is given in Srimad Bhagavatam. And we may say, well, that's in Bhagavatam, but then someone else will say something else. Yeah, so many people may say so many things, but if we try to examine intelligently Buddha, this verse says, with our intelligence, then we won't find a better definition than this. Of course, there may be different opinions about that, but well, what can we say? Then different people will, they may argue, but here's the Srimad Bhagavatam's definition. Savai pung sang paro dharmo yato bhaktir adho kshaje ahaitukya pratihata yayatma suprasediti. The best dharma or occupational duty, that which should be done, or that which is our intrinsic nature, or religion, the best for all beings, it's not that it's exclusive to any race or nationality or caste. It's open to everyone, male, female, learned, unlearned, whatever. It's open to everyone. Is that by which we can attain loving devotional service to the transcendent Lord. Of course, there's much packed into all these words. There's much to be understood. But basically, loving God without any personal motive and constant. It's not that we have a holiday or we take a break, but it's always going on. It flows automatically. That will be explained later in Bhagavatam. But it's constant. And it's not that, well, I'm serving God and I'll get, in future I'll go to heaven and I'll enjoy myself by the grace of God. This will actually satisfy us. If we try to satisfy the Supreme Person, then we ourselves become satisfied. So, if we're actually intelligent and philosophically inclined, and really looking for the best path, we can't go higher than this. There's on principle. Of course, we can go develop that understanding, and then what is the highest manifestation of that? That is discussed. We'll find the whole Brihad Bhagavatamrita specifically. One section of that specifically focuses on this question, what the different levels of love of Godhead. But as a principle, we can't find anything better than this. Although different people may have different opinions and say that, well, unless you believe in Jesus, just bringing in a sectarian idea. This Savaipung Sang Parodharma, this is a philosophical understanding. It's not a sectarian idea. It's a neutral, faith neutral statement. Describing what is the nature of the highest attainment for every living being except Adhokshaja himself. Except every living being except God himself, who is to be, he is the object of love. Actually, the word love is not there, but bhakti. Bhakti subsumes, the term bhakti subsumes love, service, both are there. So Srila Prabhupada translated bhakti as devotional service. But most people, even if they are thoughtful enough to think, well, okay, so which path should I follow? And most people don't even think like that, but even if they do, they don't look very carefully. Or they assume, they start with so many assumptions, so therefore someone may convert from one religion to another thinking that this other religion, it's better because people are more moral, or you get better, they have a better social system, or their ideas about God are better, but they don't begin at the beginning of understanding who we are. And therefore they think that the idea, who we are, who is God, and what is our relationship with God. They don't understand that, and therefore they think that one religion is better at delivering the goods of how I can get as much as I can from God. How that's their outlook. They have no idea that we are meant for serving God. Or even if there are some who have the idea of serving God, but they don't have a clear idea of who he is or how to serve him, what he likes. Unless we have a very clear idea of the Supreme Person, then we can't really serve him properly. Just like if we're told, serve someone, you have to, okay, so how is, well, most people never even think of offering food to God. They are, how do you offer food? I mean, he's already got whatever he needs, so he doesn't need to eat food. Food, that's for humans, but he's beyond that. So they think it's a very odd and primitive idea to offer food to God. But, well, why not? If you like, he likes. Where does our liking of food come from? From his liking of food. So they said, okay, we'll offer food to God, but you don't know what he likes. So we end up offering, well, I like pizzas and chips, so probably he does too. Or I like sausages and mashed potatoes, so probably he does too. We don't know. You have to find out specific details of who he is and what he likes. Otherwise we can't serve him and love him properly. It's not possible. Well, how are we going to find that out? We can't find out by ourselves, just by our own endeavor. If you want to find out what the Prime Minister of India, who's a very big person in the worldly estimation, but a very small person compared to the Supreme Person, Supreme Personality of Godhead, if you want to find out what he likes to eat, then there's not much use to find out because you can't feed him anyway. Even if you wanted to. But We can feed God. That is there. He's closer to... The big man in this world is further away from us than God. He's very close and willing to accept our offering. But then, how could we find out? Maybe by guessing. Let me see. We know a little bit about him. Okay, he's Gujarati, so probably likes food with lots of sugar in it. And which part of Gujarat is he from? In different parts, there's different people. The Kaman or Dokla or different things. We can guess. We might get some idea, but you can't really know. It's called the ascending process. If we try to understand God or the absolute truth by our own effort, that's called ascending. That means we're down here and God's up there and we're trying to get up there, but we never really go up. It's called the ascending process because the idea is that we should ascend. That's the arohana panta. But we don't actually go up. It's called that because there's a hope of going up, but we don't really go up at all. Or even if we go up a little bit, we don't. It's like a bug climbing up the wall in a prison. We're still inside the prison. We don't get out of them. You can't climb out of the prison. We're inside the prison of our misconceptions, and we can't get out of it just by our own effort. We require help. So that help comes if we first of all admit that we're in ignorance. I don't know how to go, where to go, how I should go, even that we should go. Mostly we don't even know that we should go. Someone who doesn't know that he should go, he's not going to go anywhere except round and round in this material world. But the Vedic process of going up and understanding Krishna is to approach a guru. Now even this Bhagavad Gita, Gita Press, they've printed literally millions of copies of this in Hindi script. Some just the Bhagavad Gita, just with the verses in Sanskrit. There are other versions with it in Hindi translation, and other versions with Hindi commentary. And then they brought it out in English, and now they have it in different languages, and they've distributed millions and millions of. And that's why they're called Gita Press. Although they do publish other books, but that's been their main book. But it's not just by reading it that we can understand. We have to accept a guru. Otherwise, you see, here in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Aham Sarvasya Prabhava. And we understand it very clearly, that what Krishna says, he says, I am the source of generation of everything. So we understand it very clearly. Why do we understand it very clearly? Well, Krishna says so, but that's not all. That's because we understood it through Srila Prabhupada, through the bona fide parampara. Otherwise, others, if we understand it by our own, try to understand it by our own brain, or if we try to understand it through someone else's brain, whose brain is not properly in order, he's not got the proper understanding, then we won't understand, even though the text itself is quite clear, but we won't understand. We have to be guided to understand, yes, this means Krishna, the person. Oh, yeah, then we understand. But if we go to an impersonalist, they'll explain it differently. Mostly people go to impersonalists because they have that inclination to have some mystic experience. But they don't want to understand, they don't want to surrender to Krishna. We get what we want. Krishna's within our hearts. He directs us in such a way to get what we want. So we have to accept a guru, we have to accept a path, we have to accept guidance, and it's not just intellectual. There's discipline, there are rules and regulations to be followed. It's not like studying some subject in school or university. If we go to the universities, there's no
It's not required to get their degree that they have to, for instance, not engage in smoking and drinking and fornication. Those things are not encouraged. They may be discouraged somewhat in the school, but it's not a disqualification. If the student is smoking, that doesn't, he can still get his university degree. There's no stop. He means he can understand the subject matter. But for understanding the subject matter of transcendence, then we have to become detached from the that which contaminates our consciousness in this material world. So there are certain things that contaminate our consciousness, certain things that purify our consciousness. We need guidance in all these things. Therefore, Bhagavad Gita teaches this, how to love God, or that we should love God, but then exactly what is the process of loving God? That we require subsidiary literature also, and guidance. Otherwise people say, yeah, I love God, I go to church every Sunday, and when we come back from church we have roast beef, and I love God. So words are, I feel it. And people, they may feel, I feel it. They have the bhava, feeling, yes, I love God. I love Sai Baba, he's so wonderful. Sai Baba, for me, Sai Baba is God, and they feel it, but there's no buddha, there's no intelligence, there's no buddhi, there's no intelligence there to understand. This is an absurd proposition that Sai Baba is God. It's just completely, cannot be considered at all intelligent. So we have to accept a path, we have to accept guidance, one who knows, who can guide, one or several, but we have to accept that guidance. But then even when we come on a path, we'll find there are so many other questions will arise. If we're thoughtful, here it's enjoined, we should be thoughtful. We have so many other questions. And the questions could go on unlimitedly. There are all kinds of questions that can arise. We may question the teachings within the parampara. We may question the people within our parampara. Someone else may say, yes, this Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's line is right, but you haven't really got it right. And it can go on and on. A few days ago, I got an email from a disciple. Well, some people say that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati wasn't initiated, and what do you say to that? So I answer that. And then, next question. Then, if this Radharaman Charandas Babaji actually admitted his mantra was bogus, then why did people continue to follow? And then, I can go on. There can be so many questions, on and on and on. But you can't, just inquisitiveness is required, but just to go on asking questions, so many people will bring so many doubts. We have to put it's also intelligent to put our faith in a certain process and a certain line and follow that. So faith is required. Faith means to some extent it's going to be blind, and until we attain this stage of perfection, it means we have to have faith that I just can't stop and ask all the questions, and then when I finish asking them, then I'll commit myself. Because there's never an end to all the questions. We have to commit ourselves at some point. Otherwise, so many doubts may arise, or people may bring so many doubts, they may present so many things that your guru said this, or your scripture says this, but actually it's not like that. Of course, I'm not making a case here for ignorance. Or not knowing Shastra, but it's unlimited. The different things that Maya can offer us to distract us, or even ourselves in our reading and contemplating, if we have the attitude to do so, we can ask a question at every step. But then we'll stop stepping. And we say, how do I know I'm stepping in the right direction? Therefore we have to have some faith, not blind faith, not just, oh, Sai Baba's God. Oh, really? Oh, okay. There should be some good level of intelligence there, as Krishna mentions here. Not just feeling, if you have the feeling, oh yeah, I feel Sai Baba God. But no, it should be guided by intelligence. But it's also intelligent to understand that however intelligent I may think I am, that I can't understand everything anyway. I'm never going to be able to understand everything, every detail about everything. But I have to make process. Mahajano yena gatha sapanta, following the footsteps of those who have gone there. In the in Buddhism, they call one name for the Buddha, or I don't know how you can say it. In our, we'd say self-realized, but they don't believe there's any self to realize. But anyway, they Tathagata, the one who's gone there. So those who have gone there, well, how do you know they've gone there? Maybe they're bluffing. Well, anything's possible, but when you see great personalities like Swayambhu, Narada, Shambhu, Prahlada, what is that? Swayambhu, Narada, Shambhu, Kumara, Kapila, Mano, Prahlada, Janaka, Bhishma, Balaya, Vyasakya, Vayam. When we see there are such personalities, and they all agree on the same point, and they're all self-realized. Well, we can see by their understanding, their teaching. When someone else will say, well, I see the 12 apostles, they were, or the prophets of Islam, or, yeah, well, we have to see. Well, we have some very good tools for understanding these matters from Bhagavad Gita, the three modes of material nature. We can see that that religion which encourages animal slaughter, then it can't even begin to be thought of as an advanced religion. The level of consciousness is very low. So intelligence means guided by knowledge. We can see there are great persons who have gone there. So we have to find someone who's gone there, or who's in touch with one who's gone there, or better than that is someone who never left there. Just like we say avatar, Shaktyavesh avatar, the great acharyas, they're understood to be avatar. They've come down empowered with the energy of Krishna. Krishna Shakti Bina Nahe Tar Pravatan Kali Kali. What is that? Kali Kali Yuga Dharma Nama Sankirtan. Krishna Shakti Bina Nahe Tar Pravatan. In this age of Kali, the Yuga Dharma, the religious system, is chanting the holy names of Krishna in Sankirtan, congregational chanting. One who has got the energy of Krishna, one who is empowered by Krishna, can establish that in this world. So those who have come from there, those who are not part of this material world, they come into this material world to bring us there, to bring us back. We can take guidance from them. How to go there also. And the process, it's not just learning from them, but service is very much required also. Faith, yasya deve para bhakte yata deve tata guru tasaite katita hyarta prakashante mahala. The person who has full faith in the Supreme Lord and in the Guru who teaches that, such a person, to him all the purports of the Vedas are revealed. Then how to approach a Guru? One goes for learning, but the process of learning is samit parni. One brings wood, wood for the fire, what are you going to give a guru? You're going to give him a gold watch? What does he want? He doesn't need anything. But the guru in the forest, he's just... But one thing you can bring him is some wood for the fire, because he's doing the sacrifices. So that summit particularly is the kindling wood, by which you can make fire by rubbing it together. So it's very useful. So the idea is that one should come in an attitude of service. One who is in an attitude of service, he can understand everything by the mercy of Supreme Lord, and by the mercy, that mercy comes through the Guru. An example is there in Madhva Sampradaya of the Jayatirtha was an Acharya, Tika Acharya, the one who explained Madhva's very difficult texts, very difficult to understand. He explained them in a way that made it relatively easy. Of course, it's still not that easy, but he clarified everything. He appeared, he was born about 50 years after Madhva left this world, and in that sampradaya it's understood that the bull, one of the bulls who used to, Madhvacharya would travel here, there and everywhere with his books. Books in those days meant these palm scrolls. He had a cart full of them. Of course, he knew everything himself, but sometimes he would show that just for showing evidence or whatsoever. So he would travel with that, and one of the bulls would, it was seen, he would listen very carefully whenever Madhva spoke. And Madhva wouldn't speak unless the bull was there to listen. And that's very strange. Why is that? And so he was doing service to Shastra and service to Guru, and then he became Jayatirtha. That's the understanding, who was able to clarify all these different points. So by service and by carefully hearing with faith, then one is imbued with a proper understanding. In this regard, there's an anecdote told of Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj, how some young men came to him to be his disciples, to practice bhakti under him. So they're very excited. Now we, raga, noga, bhakti, and all these, so many things we have to do. So I'm going to find out whether I'm going to be this manjari or that manjari, and we'll be chanting all day. They're very excited. He looked at them and said, okay, you go and work in the garden. You go and work in the garden, produce some fruits and vegetables. So they did. You accept a guru, you have to accept his order. And I came back after some time and said, well, we thought we were going to be chanting and doing bhakti. He said, you do work in the garden. Serve the dham. They're Navadvip dham. So you serve the dham by making nice gardens, and that can be offered to the Lord. You know, well, we want to do bhakti. He said, you want to do chanting? All right, later. He didn't think they were ready for chanting. They thought we're going to go high, so high. Okay, you do this. Actually, what could be higher than serving the dham? Well, I want to realize my swarup. Okay, then they may chant, realize your swarup, and then they'll be, when they realize their swarup, they realize they're cultivating the garden in the dham, because that's the kind of thing that you get when you realize your swarup. So, okay, you were a shortcut, but they thought, no, we want to do chanting and bhakti. So this, they doubted. There are so many others. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he was in the dham on the order of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, overseeing the affairs at the Jogpit temple. Those days it was not the big temple that you see now in Mayapur, but just a smaller affair. So he would oversee the affairs and keep the accounts and so many worldly matters he had to deal. One Babaji, one young boy wanted to be a Babaji, came to him and said, "Now, what is all this?" He's keeping the accounts, making, noting, someone has given a donation, how is it spent? He's very concerned how it's spent. So, "I came here for bhakti, what's this?" He's just like a businessman. So he went over the river to Gaur Kishore Das Babaji. "Ah, now he's his guru, and he's much better than him," he thought. He was so foolish. He had doubts. His doubts, and improperly his doubts are, he wasn't fit actually to be a disciple. He thought, "I'm on this higher level. I need to go up higher. I'm not just going to be, what is this, just polishing the brass. And I want to just sit and chant and do some, get really into the nectar here." So he became, the Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur described how he became misled and he fell down ultimately because he was entere pakka. The Bengali saying, if you have here also in Tamil Nadu these jackfruits, very strangest kind of fruit, and it grows very strangely also, and here and there on the branches, on the trunk, sometimes even on the roots, it'll grow. So a very strange fruit. When it's kaccha, or just growing, it's not soft for a fruit, it's green, and when it's ripe, some of them, they become yellow on the outside, some varieties of jackfruit, that spiky outer membrane becomes yellowish in color. So sometimes you see this little jackfruit, when it just grows, it just starts very small and gradually can become so big that it becomes difficult to pick it up, it's so heavy. So it starts off very small, and sometimes when it's very small, just like 2-3 centimeters long, it becomes yellow. So I think, oh, it became ripe very quickly, but it's useless. It looks, it already became ripe, but it's supposed to grow and then become ripe. Not that you can't use it for vegetable, you can't use it for fruit, you can only use it for fertilizer, you can't use it for anything. It's just like, just like dung can be used for fertilizer. So, entere pakka, Bengali saying, someone who becomes too smart, too quick. They already understood everything, but they didn't go through the process of growing. They want to become ripe immediately. So we want to find the highest truth intelligently. The highest truth is what? To have bhava for Krishna, Buddha. And intelligently one can understand that the highest truth is to love. Love who, what, why, when? Love God. Love means service, this Gaudiya teachings are really the best. You can study, but you'll find that the exchange of love offered between Krishna and his devotees, we won't go higher, we won't find anything higher than this. It's very nice, as Srila Prabhupada often said. It's a very nice movement. It's singing, dancing, flowers, cultivating good qualities among them. Everyone wants to serve everyone else, becoming free of egoism. It's a very nice movement. In fact, that was my first impression when I first came to the temple. Oh, it's very nice. Everybody is very happy, nice. All the senses, nice. The whole building is permeated by incense smell. Everything. Very nice movement, Srila Prabhupada would say. It's not only philosophical, it appeals to our bhav, to our feelings also. Even in the very beginning stage, it's a very pleasing movement. Krishna consciousness is very pleasing. You can say that, well, that sentiment, sentiment is also wanted. It's not just that we have classes, and it's not just that we're studying and making philosophical categories like Sankhya philosophy, just study this, this, this. Okay, so now we have to serve Krishna, all right. pick up a bell, ring it, move the hands like this, offer arati, but we're not, it's not, it's supposed to be done with bhava. Oh, okay, I'm supposed to do it with bhava, okay. And try and, but it flows naturally. It's not that, oh, I'm supposed to do it with feeling, okay, all right. So it says I should do it with feeling, so let me do it with, okay, I'll try and feel something. But it comes automatically, because it is our constitutional position to love Krishna. So sentiment is required also, so feeling for Krishna. But that has to be also regulated by proper understanding, feelings, not only feelings. Sometimes we see the someone is giving Srimad Bhagavatam talk. It's just all feelings, that's all. Everyone feels nice, and feels good, talking about the pastimes of Krishna. But there's nothing to lift us to the platform of full absorption, to the platform where we can actually be qualified to enter into that. It's only sentimental. So both things are required, intelligence, sentiment. Sentiment for Krishna is very good, no doubt. But that has to become that we don't have sentiment for anything in this world also. Bhakti pareshanu bhava virakti ranyatra. We should have feeling for Krishna, but be detached from everything else also. So some intelligence is required. How can we understand all this? Well, that's mercy that comes down. When we have to reach up for it, it's not that we're just sitting down waiting for the mercy, we have to reach up for it also. Bhagyavanjeev, Brahmanda Brahmite Kono Bhagyavanjeev. One is very fortunate can understand this, otherwise someone may say, oh well, what is this? We have to give up meat, we have to give up coffee, it's too much. Or there may be so many ways. Someone may not even come to this path, someone may come to this path and go off this way, that way, be deviated. Feeling, we have feelings. Yes, we want to develop feelings for Krishna. That has to be regulated by proper understanding, also proper philosophical understanding. Also that feeling, that the first feeling we should have, actually before this bhava. Bhava is a prerequisite to prema, or it's an bhava is in the stage of bhava bhakti, prema bhakti. So bhava is always there, Krishna bhavanamrita, Krishna consciousness, the nectar of feelings for Krishna. But the first feeling that we need to have on the path of Krishna consciousness is dainya. That means in bhakti, the path is sharanagati. First of all, before prema, there is the path of taking shelter of Krishna. First, we have to take fully shelter in Krishna. Not that we just jump into prema, but we're taking shelter. We're trying to enjoy this material world in so many ways. We take shelter of so many materialistic conceptions, beginning with, I am this body, and I'm meant to enjoy this world. So, sharanagati means to accept everything favorable for Krishna's service, reject everything unfavorable, it's an obstruction. To think of Krishna as my protector, as my maintainer, to fully give ourselves to Krishna, and dainya, or humility, and bhaktivinoda thakura. Although in the verse that is given in Hari Bhakti Vilas, I believe they quote from Sattvata Tantra, then these are the six processes, and dainya or karapanya, it comes last, but Bhaktivinoda Thakur in his analysis of this puts this first. The feeling that I am very fallen. If we think, well, I'm very great, I'm ready, you know, I'm ready right from the start. Here, no need, I'll just go on the fast track. I'll just scoot past all this, all these in-between stages and just jump right up there, get right into the nectar right at the beginning. But dainya, humility, thinking oneself very fallen and low, that is the first feeling. Before we can have feelings for Krishna and love of Krishna and become qualified to throw colors on Krishna or throw flowers on Krishna or steal Krishna's clothes or have our clothes stolen by Krishna or such things. First of all, first qualification is to feel that I don't have any qualification. I'm not fit for this at all. But I'm simply praying that by the mercy of Guru and Vaishnavas and Krishna, even though I'm unfit, they may accept me. This Narottam Das, he gives this understanding, and that is typical of all true Vaishnavas. Patita pavana hetu tava avatamo shama patita prabhu na paibaya. Praying to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you came down to pick up the fallen, you won't find anyone more fallen than me, he says. So how can he say that? Because he's obviously a very great devotee. And he was born with all those attributes which are generally an impediment to feeling humble. He had Janmaishwarya Shruta Shri. He was born in a wealthy, prominent, powerful family, wealthy family, good-looking, we don't know, but well, there's the picture of him. He looks very nice to see, but it's not specific. Then, and very intelligent, and he, after studying with Jiva Goswami, became very, very learned. So he had all the high birth, wealth, beauty, riches, intelligence, learning, but still, although these generally produce pride in people, by which they can't feel humble. If you can't feel humble, you're ineligible to get Krishna's full mercy. Then, but still, he was very, very humble. So it might be that people come to Krishna consciousness sometimes. We see people, devotees, they come and think, well, I'm from a very good background. You see, I have a good education and a good family and plenty of money. So I'm a better devotee because others are just coming for the chapatis or the idlis down here. They're not really serious, but I'm better because I come from a good background. But thinking like that in itself is a disqualification. Thinking, well, I'm better than the others because they're just coming because they're sentimental. But see, I come from a very pious family. But that feeling, that bhava, the first bhava is feeling of desperation. Dainya, I'm so hopeless. I have no hope. I'm so fallen. My only hope is the mercy of Hari, Guru and Vaishnavas. Otherwise, I'm just... There's no hope whatsoever for me. So, if one is grossly sinful, well, it might be, we might think, well, it's easier, Vajagai and Madhai and Ajamil. But we may think, well, I'm very pious. I came to Krishna consciousness and have a good background. I never did any grossly sinful activities. I'm from a good family. That can be an obstruction. Although it's expected that people who come from a good family, King Puna Brahmana Punya, what is that? King Puna Brahmana Punya, Rajashaya Tata. What is that? Bhakta Rajashaya Tata. Anityam Asukam Lokam. Imam Prapya Bhajasvamam. It's expected that people who come from high class families, if they worship Krishna, they can very easily attain the highest result. What to speak of those who come from a sinful background, stri, shudra, vaisha. So it's expected. But then if they think, well, I'm from a very good background, then immediately, if they think like that, then immediately they're disqualified. The disqualification is to think that I have no qualification to take to bhakti. Or even if one thinks, well, I'm from a very high position. But what is this high position? It means... We're all chained in this world. Someone's chained with iron shackles, someone's chained with gold shackles. So if you say, well, I'm chained with gold shackles, so I'm better than the one with iron shackles. But it's meaningless. We're in this world because we're rascals, that's all. So we may think, well, I'm a pious rascal. But we should understand, actually we're here in this world because we're sinful. And my only hope, it's my birth in a high family and my pious background, it's not going to help me. Krishna's not going to be impressed by any of these things. Only this full giving ourselves to Krishna with understanding that I have no shelter but Krishna. Then Krishna will accept. Otherwise we'll remain in material consciousness. Or even if we're thinking, I have to see to my spiritual advancement. But the whole attitude should be one of service. What I'm required to do. Just like Jagannath Das Babaji sent the young boys, okay, you work in the field. Oh, what about my advancement? I have to chant. Didn't Chaitanya Mahaprabhu say to chant? We're supposed to chant. But Jagannath Das Babaji said, you work in the field. Okay, I take what's required. That's first. They had to imbibe the spirit of service. Otherwise we can go on chanting and reading and so many things and thinking we know so many things and becoming very advanced and within our own imagination. That's all. Because bhakti means the service spirit, devotional service. Feeling and service must be the service attitude. Otherwise, or it may be... We may get, I'm doing so much service, others are recognizing. There's so many ways in which we can just go off focus. So the attitude Srila Prabhupada writes, advancement in Krishna consciousness is dependent on the attitude of the performer. So everything has to be right on, exactly. How can we know? How can we get that? Bhagya, by good fortune, we can give it. But good fortune comes to those who are ready to, who are willing to take it. Otherwise, everyone can become fortunate. It's not that it's a lottery or that Krishna likes some more than others. Chosen people, the Jewish people have this idea. They're the chosen people. But everyone can become fortunate. But that requires also some sincerity. Otherwise we won't understand all these simple points. You know, we are meant to serve God. We are not here to do some little service and get more service from Him. All these points we have to understand very clearly. Then we can make very nice advancement in devotional service. Otherwise, it may be lip service also, lip service only. This dainya means understand. I am very small. Krishna is the source of everything. Aham sarvasya prabhu. Everything comes from Krishna. Who am I in relationship to Krishna? There's Krishna's great mercy that He's willing to accept us, even though we're very small. Oh, okay, I'll finish here. Hare Krishna. Any questions or comments about that place? Anything? Anyone? No. All right. Hare Krishna. Srimad Bhagavad Gita as it is, ki jai. His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, ki jai. Hare Krishna.